Father, in your Son Jesus, in that name, you gave us all the victory. And thank you, Lord Jesus. It's done. It's finished. Oh, it's complete. Oh, hallelujah. And Lord, we stand upon the promise. The promise, Lord God, of the blood that was freely shed. The body that was completely given. And Lord, the Lamb, behold, the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, our soon coming bridegroom. Let us delight in your love and mercy and grace this morning. We praise you in your wondrous name. Amen. Amen, amen. Let's begin this morning over in Matthew chapter 17. Oh, someday you're going to open your eyes, you're going to see his face. And you're going to be like him. And I like him in the fullness and the stature and the measure of him. That's what you're feeding on. That we grow up into him in all things, into a perfect man. Praise the Lord. Matthew 17, reading from verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto him Moses, Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Move right across the page to Matthew 16. Let's read from verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Wonderful. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now turn over to Matthew 26. Let's read from verse 36. Says there, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he finds them asleep. And he says unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Are you starting to get a little pattern here? We could go on, but I think you got it. No one failed more, and no one continued to fail more than our brother Peter. This is the truth. From his pride of telling and trying to decide, actually, he wasn't trying to decide, he was trying to let him know who's the greatest disciple. Or this false pride and foolishness, and matter of fact, the speak of the enemy, oh Lord Jesus, I will never deny you. And after all the times that he failed, and after all the times that God in his grace corrected him, all the continuing grace, the forgiveness that was given to Peter, do you realize even after this time, after Jesus was crucified, 25 years later, he is in with the Galatians. After God has given him the infilling of the Holy Ghost, after God has given him power to preach, after God has made him the apostle to the Jew, he's in there with the Galatians, and he fails maybe as miserably as he ever failed. And he stumbles his brothers at that time by having them partake in the legal ways of the Pharisees. And he has to be reprimanded by the Apostle Paul. That was 25 years after. Now, some of the scholars, and they've studied these things out, they say, Peter, you can count 13 times that he failed in the Word of God. I actually will tell you it's more. But who's counting? But if we're going to use the number 13, I think it's kind of a good number to use. It means rebellion. And isn't that just like our Jesus, that he is going to magnify his grace in the less of the least? He's going to magnify his grace in the biggest mess. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you're his mess. And he loves you. Oh, yes. Now, I'm going to ask you this. So how did Peter finally pull it out and turn it around? He didn't. Grace did. Grace did. Peter couldn't do anything. Peter showed you what Peter could do, just like what you do. Fail. All right. Come on. That's true. Now, was any of this surprising to God? Not at all. He didn't. Jesus didn't say, oh my goodness, Peter, what have you done? Jesus, a very cool cat. And I'm just saying it just like it is. Because he's God, he's very God. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what was coming out of Peter. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing. So, here's what grace did. Grace had chosen Peter all along. Turn back to Matthew 19. Here's how grace had chosen Peter all along, and what the Lord told Peter really very early on from his calling. And this is Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter. Peter had a lot to say, didn't he? And he said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all, and we followed thee. What shall we have, therefore? Listen to what Jesus hits him with. Now think of what we just read, some of the things that Peter goes on to do after Jesus tells him this. After he told Jesus, you know, we have forsaken all. We have followed thee. You know how I follow you? Oh, yeah, Peter, I know how you follow me. We haven't even got to how you follow me, son. But before you tell me how you follow me, I want to tell you how I love you. Before you tell me what you've done for me, let me tell you how I chose you. Let me tell you where I've placed you. Let me tell you where you'll divinely be. And only in that place. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Done. Ye shall. Done. God's promise. Peter's place. Praise the Lord. And seven chapters later from this, Peter is going to deny Jesus three times. Let's read them. Come on, let's read of that. After Jesus tells him this, seven chapters later, let's get to what Peter and his following is all about. In Peter's strength, verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know this Jesus. You got me mistaken for somebody else. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear. Think of this. He's cursing and swearing. I don't know the bleep, 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 bleep one. I don't know blah, 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 that Jesus. This is how you follow the Lord in your strength. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God that chose you? Come on, wake up. Wake up. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock, what did he do? It crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. But grace had already chosen Peter. And Jesus had already told him. And Peter was never going to get right in Peter. Peter had to establish its grace. Peter had to settle it. It's grace. Peter had to face, I really don't like me. I wish I could shut up. I wish I could quit trying and saying these stupid things that I always say. How I criticize everybody else and it pops out of my mouth and I somehow almost even can't help it. But Jesus loves me. And he doesn't just love me. He called me and he chose me. And he has set me in a throne, one of the 12, that's going to rule over the 12 tribes all throughout that millennium. What about that grace? What do you think of that? Huh? And let me tell you something. That grace is not a one-off. That's always God's grace. That's what mercy is. Now, are you getting what mercy is? It's the exact extreme opposite of what you deserve. Of all the disciples, he deserved it the least. I could say it like this. It was just a precious mustard seed of faith that separated him from a Judas, just like you. Just like me. this is so mighty. No matter what Peter would do, no matter how big he failed, no matter how much he forsake God, no matter how much he did not believe, grace is greater than you. Amen. Grace is greater. And if you're sitting here under the anointing of the Lord today, you know that's you. Amen. You know it's you, and you thank God it's you, that grace is greater than you, that grace is greater than your failure, that the Lord knew that Peter would come out one way, loving the truth, loving the truth, loving the truth with all of his heart, soul, and mind. Amen. Amen, amen. Now, brethren, we quote this verse often. Let's just turn there. I'm not just going to quote it. We're going to read it together. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Let's read that together. I want you to really focus in on it, because the Lord has written this upon your heart. Know this. Being confident. That's every moment of your life. That's your being. That's how you be. Okay? Kings? This is the king speak. Being. Not I want to be. Not I'm going to be. I'm being. I'm in it. It's forever active. It's alive. It's bubbling over. It's a cup that's full and running over. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Now, do you believe it for you? Really believe it? Is it being confident right now in you and going on by the grace of God? Well, let me tell you something. No life magnifies this faithfulness of God more than Peter's. Amen? I mean, to really thank God for this, to praise the Lord, this is me. Brothers and sisters, God is fully committed to you. Just like God is fully committed to Peter. Fully committed. I mean, look what was going to come forth. The Lord knew. The Lord knew all of that. He even told him. And what's so beautiful is even when the Lord tells Peter, before Peter denies him the three times, he tells Peter that's going to happen. And he doesn't grab Peter and say, "Don't do it, Peter. Don't do it." In some dramatic fashion. "You're better than that, son." He never said that to him, did he? He said, "You're going to do it." And the I am that I am is telling you that, and you still don't believe it, son, because you're still more confident in you than my word. Are you more confident in you than in the word? Huh? I'm so thankful I have the promise of Philippians 1:6. That's what's confident in me. I know he's put that in me. Yeah, he has. And I know he'll perform that. Amen. That's it. That's it. That's exactly right. The word said it is so. Now listen to this. It was always done for Peter. It was just not yet made manifest, brothers and sisters. It didn't sure look like it, but it was going to be no matter what. At the end of Peter's life, let's read the last words that the Spirit wrote through this sweet vessel in 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the very last things that Peter says. We'll read from verse 15. 2 Peter 3:15. And here's what he writes. "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." And notice whose long suffering it is. It's the Lord. He suffers long. He suffers long. He waits. He's patient. He knows what his grace will bring forth. Now listen to what goes on here. Even as our beloved brother Paul. Wow. At the very end, we're going to go talk about Paul? Really? Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. I think that mystery that was given to Paul sure struck Peter, don't you? He didn't talk about John. He didn't talk about all the other different ones he knew, sweet brothers. There's something that Paul was given. As also in what? In all Paul's epistles. Speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned. You ever try to talk to some of your Christian friends about the deep things of God, about the bridal truth, about the bridal message, and they just look at you with a blank stare? You don't look down upon that. You have compassion. But here's the truth. They're unlearned. Or are unstable and wrestle. They rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Brothers and sisters, when you have this truth, and especially this whole counsel of God, do you realize really what you have? You could take all the riches of this world, all the trillions, all the palaces, all these estates, all of the stock, all of the gold, all of the silver, and it's nothing. It's nothing compared to what we have been given. Given in Christ for forever. For forever. And here, what's so beautiful and wonderful is we have been given all of this and the responsibility. Oh my goodness. The responsibility to keep and to treasure this grace, this crown that he's given you. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to you to be married to the Lamb of God? It's the faith in this message that does it. It couldn't be a work or something we merit. It's a choosing at the well. It's this message that met you. That met you somewhere, somehow, a parking lot, at your job, wherever it was that God sent divinely. He sent his messenger. He sent that Holy Ghost to speak it to you, to your heart. And you said, I do, I'll go, it's mine. I didn't merit a thing. Get up on that camel, let's go. We can't delay. And you said, I'll go. I'll go. You wouldn't be abiding in this if you didn't say, I'll go. And he does. He keeps it. And he directs it. And he keeps you on. And he does. And there's things we go through. There's all of this stuff. But you're here. You're in it. And this is the beautiful thing. Your life is not a destruction. No, it ain't. You haven't missed a thing. You haven't. You're not seeing it right if you think you've missed something. If there was something that could have been or should have been, honey, you've got it all. You're ready to step into the glory of glories. You're ready to take this throne with the I Am. He's going to present you. Is that incredible? He's going to present you. All of this world, all of these ones. All of this unbelief, they're going to know. And when they bow and they bend that knee, and they are all going to confess that he is God He's going to have his wife with him. And he's going to take the synagogue of Satan. He's going to have them come and bow down before her feet and worship. What's that mean to you? It's everything to me. And it's not because they're worshiping me. It's because they're worshiping his grace. They're worshiping his mercy. They're acknowledging. They're going to acknowledge, praise God. They're going to know. They're going to know what his glory is. They're going to know what his mercy is. They're going to know what his grace is. Oh, yes, they are. They're coming. And it's going to magnify him. It's going to magnify him. And here's this precious life of nothing but mercy. And here's how it closes out. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, after speaking of Paul about those that have left that message or don't receive it to their own destruction. This ain't talking about salvation, honeys. This is talking about God's precious people that turn down God's best. This is why the innumerable multitude with palms in their hands, when they get there, they're going to have a tear wiped from their eye. God forbid that would be any of us. It should be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh my goodness. Not wondering what you're going to do. My goodness, Lord, I'm stepping right into what you told me all this time. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, you know them. Beware lest also, now here it is, being led away with the heir of the wicked. Look at what Peter said. Here's the heir of the wicked. Because he knows it, because Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And here's the heir of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness. Who's holding that crown in your hand? He is. He is. Who held Peter's place of the 12 thrones? He did. We've forsaken all, we followed you. Ha! I'm going to show you how. You forsook all. You didn't forsake all. You forsook me. Come on. Are you a vessel of mercy? Oh, I pray you are. Because you'll be clothed. And you'll be clothed with something even better than Peter. He didn't have the place that's being offered to you. He's on one of the 12. My goodness, you're on the only one in the middle. Isn't that glorious? Now, if that place is reserved in heaven for him, don't you think you got a place reserved in heaven for you? Look, really, saints, come on. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. What truth has the Lord brought to your heart? What have your ear been to hear? What place? I don't see a place for me standing before the throne. He's shown me my place, just like he's shown Peter his place. Oh no, you say, oh brother, oh no, it didn't have your name on it. Oh yes, it did, and all them also. That's right there with Paul. And don't you forget that. Paul said, there's therefore a crown laid up for me, and to all them also, y'all them also. Really, are y'all them also? No, really. This is how we believe by the grace of God. It is time. It's time, saints. Be still no more. Thank God. Praise him for his mercy. You truly need to have a heart like David if you're going to win this thing, if you're going to fight and truly fight. Take hold of who you are in Christ. Take hold of it. Praise the Lord. My heart ached yesterday. I was thankful to see all of those pictures that came forth and all of those ones and how this was established by the Lord. Not by flesh and blood. But there were far more that didn't go on than stuck. Who's my family? And I always remember Brother Hill saying, God don't have any grandkids. And he doesn't. God help us not to compromise. Do you see it? I mean, really, do you see it? Oh! Phil, is that prophet? That enemy was in the hills there. They're all surrounded. That one was just fearful. Oh, we're going to be taken over. He said, oh, let his eyes look up. Let his eyes see what mine see. The host of heaven in the hills. Who's fighting for you? Did he seat you there? Do you see it? Is your place in the company of one of the four sitting in the midst of the throne? Has grace made that choice for you? Has the word spoken that to your ear? Even so, Lord, come. Let's pray. Father, we do. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift that has been put in us, Lord. It must be the Holy Ghost that does it. God, I rejoice with you today, and we rejoice. You've called us in, the kings, to come in. Lord, we're in the presence of such glory. We're in the midst of such grace. Lord, you're building your masterpiece. And Lord, you're doing it in the earthen vessels. And we all praise you today because we know that it is not of us. We're so thankful for this morning because that the glory may be of you and not of us. Oh, I thank you. That the glory that I have is you. I've got you. We've got you. You're ravished. You cannot deny yourself. We thank you again for that love that passes all understanding. But by your Spirit, you made it known to us in a very sweet and beautiful personal way. Until you come, precious bridegroom, until we see you, our dear Lamb, in Jesus' name, amen.